Flattener number 9. Informing. Google, Yahoo, MSN web search. Google headquarters in Mountain View, California has a certain Epcot Center feel to it. So many fun space-age toys to play with, so little time. In one corner is a spinning globe that emits light beams based on the volume of people searching on Google. As you would expect, most of the shafts of light are shooting up from North America, Europe, Korea, Japan, and coastal China. The Middle East and Africa remain pretty dark. In another corner is a screen that shows a sample of what things people are searching for at that moment, all over the world. When I was there in 2001, I asked my hosts what had been the most frequent searches lately. One, of course, was sex, a perennial favorite of Googlers. Another was God, lots of people searching for him or her. A third was jobs. You can't find enough of those. And the fourth most searched item around the time of my visit? I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. Professional wrestling. Fortunately, no single word or subject accounts for more than 1 or 2% of all Google searches at any given time, so no one should get too worried about the fate of humanity on the basis of Google's top search items on any particular day. Indeed, it is the remarkable diversity of searches going on via Google in so many different tongues that makes the Google search engine, and search engines in general, such huge flatteners. Never before in the history of the planet have so many people, on their own, had the ability to find so much information about so many things and so many other people. That is certainly Google's goal. To make easily available all the world's knowledge in every language. And Google hopes that in time, with a Palm Pilot or a cell phone, everyone everywhere will be able to carry around access to all the world's knowledge in their pockets. There is no bigger flattener than the idea of making all the world's knowledge, or even just a big chunk of it, available to anyone and everyone, anytime, anywhere. We do discriminate only to the degree that if you can't use a computer or don't have access to one, you can't use Google. But other than that, if you can type, you can use Google, said Google CEO Eric Schmidt. And surely if the flattening of the world means anything, he added, it means that there is no discrimination in accessing knowledge. Google is now searchable in 100 languages, and every time we find another, we increase it. Let's imagine a group with a Google iPod one day, and you can tell it to search by voice. That would take care of people who can't use a computer. And then, Google access just becomes about the rate at which we can get cheap devices into people's hands. How does searching fit into the concept of collaboration? I call it informing. Informing is the individual's personal analog to open sourcing, outsourcing, insourcing, supply chaining, and offshoring. Informing is the ability to build and deploy your own personal supply chain, a supply chain of information, knowledge, and entertainment. Informing is about self-collaboration, becoming your own self-directed and self-empowered researcher, editor, and selector of entertainment. Without having to go to the library or the movie theater or through network television. Informing is searching for knowledge. It is about seeking like-minded people and communities. Google's phenomenal global popularity, which has spurred Yahoo and Microsoft through its new MSN search, also to make power searching and informing prominent features of their websites, shows how hungry people are for this form of collaboration. Google is now processing roughly 1 billion searches per day, up from 150 million just 3 years ago. The easier and more accurate searching becomes, added Larry Page, Google's other co-founder, the more global Google's user base becomes, and the more powerful a flattener it becomes. Every day, more and more people are able to inform themselves in their own language. Today, said Page, only a third of our searches are U.S.-based, and less than half are in English. Moreover, he added, as people are searching for more obscure things, people are publishing more obscure things, which drives the flattening effect of informing even more. Brin and Page, who met as Stanford University graduate students in computer science in 1995, developed a mathematical formula that ranked a web page by how many other web pages were linked to it, on the assumption that the more people linked to a certain page, the more important the page. The key breakthrough that enabled Google to become first among search engines was its ability to combine its PageRank technology with an analysis of page content, which determines which pages are most relevant to the specific search being conducted. Even though Google entered the market after other major search players, its answers were seen by people as more accurate and relevant to what they were looking for. The fact that one search engine was just a little better than the others led a tidal wave of people to switch to it. For some reason, said Brin, people underestimated the importance of finding information, as opposed to other things you would do online. If you are searching for something like a health issue, you really want to know. In some cases, it is a life and death matter. We have people who search Google for heart attack symptoms and then call 911. Companies like Google, Yahoo, Amazon.com, and TiVo have learned to thrive not by pushing products and services on their customers as much as by building collaborative systems that enable customers to pull on their own and then responding with lightning quickness to what they pull. It is so much more efficient. Search is so highly personal that searching is empowering for humans like nothing else, said Google CEO Eric Schmidt. It is the antithesis of being told or taught. It is about self-empowerment. It is empowering individuals to do what they think best with the information they want. It is very different from anything else that preceded it. Radio was one to many. TV was one to many. The telephone was one to one. Search is the ultimate expression of the power of the individual using a computer, looking at the world, and finding exactly what they want. And everyone is different when it comes to that. Of course, what made Google not just a search engine, but a hugely profitable business, was its founders' realization that they could build a targeted advertising model that would show you ads that are relevant to you when you searched for a specific topic, and then could charge advertisers for the number of times Google users clicked on their ads. Whereas CBS broadcasts a movie and has a less exact idea who is watching it or the advertisements, Google knows exactly what you are interested in. After all, you are searching for it and can link you up with advertisers directly or indirectly connected to your searches. In late 2004, Google began a service whereby if you are walking around Bethesda, Maryland, and are in the mood for sushi, you just send Google an SMS message on your phone that says, Sushi 20817, the Bethesda zip code, and it will send you back a text message of choices. Lord only knows where this will go.